Hi everyone, I'm Kari.
Hello, everyone. I am Bree.
And this is a CSA talk. Hello everyone, welcome back. Another week, another episode of CSI Talk. Hi. Before we begin, just letting everyone know that this is a safe space for you. This is always going to be a safe space with everyone that come here just to, you know, chill out after a hard day at work or at university. We got you. Just to disconnect from everything, just to listen to two girls talking about their favorite science crime fighting show. And we're going to talk about the season finale of CSI Vegas, season two, season finale, called Dying Words. That was a very heavy episode. It got me on the edge of my seat.
Me too. Of course, granted, I was predicting everything before it happened.
Yeah.
Kari was in disbelief, and I was like, this has a similar feeling, very similar to two episodes.
Yeah, it was. If you have seen some episodes from some older seasons called Fergata, and also
the last Brain Langston episode where he goes.
Yeah, it kind of has the same feeling, but since time has changed. Well, let's get into it, shall we? So the episode actually starts with a flashback to young Josh Folsom. It's actually a first on CSI history that we've seen a young CSI, if I'm not mistaken.
Nope. Very young CSI, yes, but we saw a teenage Catherine.
We saw teenage Catherine, but this is the first time that we've seen a kid CSI. We haven't seen so many. I mean, they're both Las Vegas native, right? You can see that this is the same area that we would see him later because there is a Y barrel on the background. If you actually pay attention, there is a Y barrel on the background. So that's why you can see the same area. We'll come back to this terrain later on the episode a few times. The man that we see is not his dad, it's his grandpa. His dad is on the run because there is a warrant on him, and his grandpa is sick, and they are playing a game called Dying Words. That's where the name of the episode comes from. It's kind of a set of life rules that his grandpa is leaving for him. And the song that is playing, in the verse, "You're the biggest part of me," Josh is looking at his mom while his grandpa is actually coughing his lung out. Young Josh is looking at his mom. And back in the present, Josh is stalking his mom. And she's actually singing along to the same song. He sees two cars. And his mom's voice sounded on his head, "You don't need to see this." And she is killed.
She predicted too.
Yeah.
You can see that she's getting that uneasy feeling that truth as soon as she walks into the way.
Oh, given the fact that Josh was following her, he might figure it out that she was dead by himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. By himself later, without anyone telling him, he might have gone into that warehouse and all the penetrates of himself on the scene. Later, Ellie and Serena, they are on the scene, and Max arrives. And Ellie seems to be the one that made the confirmation that one of the victims was Josh's mom, because she knows the picture that Josh has of her on his wallet. Josh's mom was stabbed But there is a second victim too, a Chinese woman, and she was strangled with polyethylene, which is good for them because it's good for printing. Josh is not picking up calls from either Serena or Max, but he's back at his family's terrain, and he screams inside his car because he obviously knows what happened. You know, he's grieving. He's not at his best right now. Back in the flashback, it shows that Josh actually built that wooden house that we see. And his mom says that they have to move again. And he hates the fact that they have to move, right? We can see from young age, Josh never actually had a good relationship with his dad because they had to move all the time because his dad always had a warrant on him. And she's sending him to live with his cousins. Those good memories that he has of her, I think, are the ones that actually drive him to seek revenge for his dad. Right? Back at the morgue, he is the one that makes the recognition of the body, right? And he tells Ellie that there is skin under his mom's nails and tells them that they had to rush the toxicology report because there might be a drug-related link. And then he tells Max that he wants to work the case, but Max won't let him. This is what I really are for.
Finally, a CSI follows protocol.
Yeah, technically, actually, no, like, those rules were actually reinforced, right? I mean, after a few instances where the type of rules were not enforced in the past.
Donnie, early on, it seems.
Yeah.
I didn't know season one.
Actually, back in season one, actually, yeah.
Because Captain did look the case that Eddie was involved with.
And, well, Max won't let him work the case, but she lets him look at the case file. Okay. He makes the link of the slot machine with his mom running products for the dealer, but she doesn't tell Max's mom. Remember that back on the episode from last night, from last week, Josh had already figured out that his mom was running the products, but he didn't know for whom his mom was running products. And he tells Max that his mom talked a lot more to Trey, and he will naturally talk to Serena when Serena goes and tells him that she's really sorry about his mom. He's not talking to anybody. Penny is back. My girl is back. I love her. I hope she makes to series regular in season 3. And Allie, hold up. We will talk about that. Allie is leading the case, right? Because she made a supervisor. And she pairs up Catherine with the MA to look at the blood work to find morphine metabolites. Because Falso's mom was a heroin addict and is usually covered up. You know, they cover up the morphine with some other substance. That's what they're looking for. Max is on Cody's duty to get a hit from the skin under Jeanette's nails along with Penny. Bo is working with Allie to process the shrink wrap polyethylene or that plastic that they found at the crime scene, right? So Bo and Allie, they are processing the shrink wrap, yeah. And Allie, she finds a couple of partials while Bo finds a cutting agent, fentanyl citrate, and polyethylene glycol. They are both from a laxative, so they are both cutting agent, right? Josh is in the morgue, and briefly, there is a shot of some blood bags for a few seconds. Just for a few seconds. And that is important for later. Right? Catherine finds him there. And he told her, yeah, I forgot my jacket, but back when she saw him at the lab, he was wearing his jacket. So she knew what he was doing.
Catherine has also been through this before.
Yeah. And she told him to remember that his mom raised a good man. So Max noticed something on Penny's hands while they run the scene on Cody's.
But we don't see anything yet. We just saw Max being taken aback.
Yeah, but yes, Penny doesn't say anything. Right. They run the scene on Cody's, and Max says that the killer is Caucasian, brown eyes, brown hair, lefty, most likely suffering from hay fever symptoms, and is above average in height. And Serena said that she might have seen this guy, and she says that she was following the evidence. But the suspect is not the one that Josh is going after. But Max knows that he is going after someone. Josh bails Trey out of prison and tells him that Jeanette is dead, and Trey knows where to go. And then we go to flashback again, and this time we go to Josh and Trey, and we see their friendship. And Josh gave him the little wooden house that he built. His mom decided to sell their trailer. Trey and Folsom, they decide to divide and conquer, which is different from what they're doing in the lab. They were doing everything together. Trey just needs to know where the products are coming from, the products as in the drugs. And Josh just needed to get the evidence he needed to get to his mom's killer. Back at the lab, Ellie's trying to reconstruct the COD of the second victim. And if you notice, she's been doing this for a few episodes now. And we didn't know why she was exactly doing this, but I feel like with the ending of this episode, she's going to be doing a lot of that. No. Depending on how it goes with Josh. Serena shows her a file on Jared Odd, which is their current suspect. So Serena and Catherine, they question him, and he doesn't really cooperate, but he doesn't say that he has anything to do with that either. And back at the lab, Bo tells Max that her hair looks really nice, which is actually a fact because it does look really nice.
Bo is just being socially awkward.
Yeah, but the prince either had a reason to be on the scene because they were accounted for, or the other half are not in the system. So the shrink wrap, they actually came predested. So they run the material and it comes back as jet fuel. Since they actually don't have time to run through GCMS or anything else that Bo wanted to do. It's such a shame, really, because Bo wanted to do things by the book, and everyone's like, we don't have time, let's just do it the old-fashioned way.
Which is still technically by the book, because it's still a test and improved type.
Yeah. Since they don't have time, Max just burns a sample to be sure it's jetful, and it lights up so fast. And it is. Max goes to PD, and she questions Jared and says that Jared crew is actually mulling drugs from China through the airport by the slot machines that are out of order. So they will put the drugs inside the slot machines with a sign that said out of order, I guess. The mechanics of those machines are too complicated. Probably they wouldn't get x-rayed or something like that. I mean, if you ever watched. There is actually a very good show on the National Geographic about airports and their security system. There's always so much going on inside airports. It's not really a surprise that this type of things fall through the cracks. And the other victim is actually from Shanghai, and she had a strain of COVID that had just started running through there, right? At the same time, Trey actually saves a girl that he hired to get the location where they needed to go, right? So he actually kidnaps the guy that...
His name is Colin. Hopefully you guys get that reference.
Well, when I saw the name of the guy was Khan, I actually thought about Wrath of Khan from
That's
Star Trek.
perfect. Cool.
If you are trying to like me, you know, Wrath of Khan.
I'm not a Trekkie, and I know.
You know, there's a Wrath of Khan, you know, the original second movie of the Star Trek franchise, and there's the new movie of Khan, which Benedict Cumberbatch plays him. And Khan was actually original villain from the Star Trek series. They get to the airport and Josh is there, and he gets there because he had to show his credentials. A bit of corruption there, right? He finds the papers that makes this whole operation legit, and he finds the knife that actually cut through the heroin brick because he had that machine that actually read the chemicals from the knife. But if he was able to get the knife to the lab, it would make a very much more detailed test. So the name of the guy is Khan, as we said before, and he said that both Trey and Folsom are dead men. Both Khan and Jared, they work for a drug dealer, and they both killed Jeanette and the Chinese lady for consuming drugs. They were supposed to be Muley, right? So that actually took us back to 2 weeks ago when Josh went after his mom and he found out that his mom was using again. She was using products that she was supposed to be running. So Josh managed to get the name Rafael Torqueño, which is the one that actually owned the plane that is in the airport, and he asked Khan if he was his boss. At PD, Serena and Catherine are trying to do the same thing with Jared. Max says that there is fuel on Jared's car, but Max noticed something. Jared is involved somehow, but he's not the one that killed Jeanette. And Penny suggests that there could have been two killers. She's right. She's actually right. There were two killers. Back at the airport, Trey tells Josh that he can make Khan talk by beating him, but Josh says that Jeanette was his mother. And that's where it gets complicated. And that's. We're warning, trigger warning right here, because, I mean, if you've seen the episode, you know what's about to happen. But trigger warning nonetheless. Josh has gloves on while his grandpa's dying words are echoing on his mind that says that his mother is his blood, and blood is all that matters, right? So he puts an adhesive tape measuring 5 feet on the floor, and he brings Khan closer to the tape. And it actually really shows Josh cutting him a bit, but he's actually cutting his mom's blood bag. He's not cutting cons. He's actually psychologically torturing Khan to get the information that he needs.
Which is mean, though.
So Trey, actually, he doesn't know that this is a lie. He doesn't know that the blood that is coming off is Jeanette's. He thinks it's actually Khan's blood.
And he's trying to stop Josh a little bit, too.
Yeah, he's like, oh man, stop. Man, I didn't know you're going this far, but he actually doesn't do anything about it. So
He's probably
back at
afraid
the
to right now.
yeah. So back at the lab, Ellie noticed something about Penny, but Penny cuts her off.
And I noticed something too. There's something cool
Yeah.
on a finger.
Yeah, you guys have no idea that there's cream. I was literally shocked. I was too stunned to speak.
When he saw a cure, and I
I
said,
was literally like, the woman was too stunned to speak. And then Bree just like, oh my God, this happened. And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm too stunned
I was like,
to
did
even
you see your finger?
react.
Did you see your finger? Did you see your finger? Did you see your finger? Guy.
And I was like, no, I'm still shocked at what Josh
No, you
did.
did not say, what do you mean? You said, what do you mean? You did not see it until later. I saw it when Ellie saw it.
Yeah, guys, I was too shocked at what Josh did. I watched the episode today and I was too shocked at what Josh did. Max is trying to make sense of a stain that is on the shrink wrap that neither Ellie or Bo can figure it out. So Bo melts the section of the shrink wrap under Max's lead, and they find out that the stain is actually a barcode. And the ship it belonged to Torquillo. And Catherine says that he's a major narco trafficker. And he gave her a scar. He gave a scar to my mother, seriously.
4 years ago.
Okay. So they decide to go to the airport where Josh, Trey, and Khan are. So Khan says that Raphael and his nephew, Zay, did it. Killed Jeanette. But he's lying. We think that Khan died, but he only passed out. And Josh, when he's about to let Khan go, he ended up seeing this card from his mother's finger on Khan's arms. And he realizes that Khan was the one that actually killed his mom. And says, it was you. She couldn't stop you. And now you can't stop me. By the time the team arrives at the airport, Bo notices the ring and asks Penny about it. And then she said, he asked. And I said, yes. Bo asks, who is it? And Penny says, you know him. Who do we think that this mystery man is?
How about somebody who works in a lab?
Well, we all know that. I mean, no. Do you think it is? I've seen someone on Twitter say it was Jack, but I was like, yeah, not Jack.
No, they had really no screen time together.
Yeah. I don't know. So, when they actually get to the airport, the scene is clean. But the murder weapon is on plain sight with murder on it, with blood on it. And on the flashback, we see that Josh's grandpa died and his mom sold the trailer. And they find Khan's body and then they find Josh, where he and his mom used to live, and he's arrested. But, like, Josh seems to be so shocked at what happened. And neither Serena nor Max, they're both like, don't say anything. Just don't say anything. And there's a blood stain on the picture of his mom that he's holding. And the song that is playing is Biggest Part of Me by Ambrosia. Just like it was in the beginning. And what do we think? Do we think that Josh did it? Or do we think that Trey did it?
I don't know.
Because, like, did Josh had motive to kill? To kill Khan? Absolutely, he did. Because Khan killed his mom. But also, Josh had gloves on.
But he also, the photo that he's put on his car after he was arrested had a bloody fingerprint.
Well, it could have been his mom's blood. There was a lot of blood, and as far as we know, he did clean the scene, so it could have been it could have been his mom's blood and his fingerprint. I mean, it doesn't really blame him. That's not actually his fault. If it's like his mom's blood with his fingerprint, it doesn't say anything. He is a CSI. Even though he was in that shocked state of mind, he was smart enough to make up a plan to psychologically torture the person that killed his mom and then clean all the evidence that would tie everything back to him. Do you really think that he would leave the murder weapon behind? He would leave the body behind? You know, just it's what Penny said in the beginning of the episode. If something had happened to her mom, no one would know.
We'll be able to find the body.
No one would ever find the body. It's different than we've seen with Ray, right? If you don't know what happened, Ray killed Nate Haskell, who was a serial killer that had been psychologically torturing Ray in the course of a few scenes. And Ray ended up killing Nate Haskell because Nate had kidnapped Ray's ex-wife. And it's a very hard episode to watch because of the amount of violence that there is on the episode. But the CSI ended up covering for him. Even though Sarah is the only one that wants to go forward and say, this is not what happened. Ray was the one that killed Nate Haskell, not the other way around. But she doesn't say anything. Although I do think she told Grissom something. But either way, I don't think Josh killed Connor. It could have been Trey. It could have been Trey or not. I don't know. It's a huge transgression for him. Although he did kill someone. He did kill that one guy. Josh putting him behind bars because of that. But you cannot just bail someone if he were charged with murder. So he couldn't have bailed Trey out with a murder charge if Trey had a murder charge. So Trey must have gotten a drug-related charge if Josh was able to bail him out. So maybe I think that it could have been Rafael Tarquinio.
Yeah.
It could have been him.
Well, remember, he couldn't move. He cannot use his left hand. His dominant hand at all.
So, we don't know who killed Khan. We don't know where Trey is because Trey wasn't there when the CSIs arrived. And I think if Josh was in a better state of mind, he might have probably taken Khan to the lab or to PD and said, like, oh, this is the guy that killed my mother. I did your job. You know? This might be the same as... Okay. These are two different franchises, but this is what I can imagine. It could be something like what happened when... Not the same thing, but it's kind of similar to when Reed was arrested in Criminal Minds. Then the team had to... Not the team, but... Some characters had to work something out to try and get him out of jail. I think this is going to happen. Did the same thing here, but we do know from Folsom history that most of his family are in jail, and it was the only exception. He was the odd one out. So I think somebody blames him for it, and yeah. He fell for it. Maybe his father
is dead.
And his father is dead. I know his father is dead, but maybe his father made some enemies. And somebody wanted to avenge themselves, so they were like, oh, the best next thing is who? His kid that worked for the police. What's the best thing that I can do? Make him fall for a murder charge, you know? And it was said that it's kind of like, forget it. Maybe it is that. Oh, one thing we said that we were going to talk about, right? So, Yeah, the series is coming back late fall. That would probably be
November.
November, late October, early November.
Or even late November, because the way to football slows down a little bit. And this is American football. Fall is American football season. And it's nonstop.
And also, we did say that we were going to talk about the elephant in the room.
And it's grown.
Yeah. So, the elephant in the room, the red is right.
It only is going to affect American stuff. So, if you guys watch things that take place in other countries, unless they decide to strike themselves to exchange support of America. Which you don't know if we don't know that that's gonna happen. Your shows that should be safe, that are written and produced by people in different countries. But this writer's strike has grown to now that has severely grown because even the SAG, which is the Screen Actors Guild, is voting to strike.
Yeah. And this actually is, if you have been in this CSI fandom for long enough, you do know that this is not the first time that this has happened. And it has affected the show before in season 8. If I'm not mistaken, this is, if you're wondering why season 8 has less episodes than other seasons, that's why.
Yeah, and like it affected so much because Whelan Peterson was originally planning to leave at the end of season 8. But because the writer's strike, he agreed to stay on longer.
Yeah. So, since we... Okay, are we going to have a season 3? Yes, we are.
Well,
but since
so
we got a later date.
But here's the thing. I know not a lot of people know this, especially if you're out of the States. But even shows that got renewed before the previous writer's strike, some of them did get canceled.
Yeah.
And it was in the first shows that was in the first two seasons. And we're in the first two seasons.
Yeah, but I think it's different with CSI because CSI is not a new show, though. CSI is not a new show. CSI is one of the tag teams of TV. And since they put they could have put the premiere date anywhere they wanted, anytime they wanted, and they decided to push it to late fall. Which indicates to me that instead of the usual time that they start shooting pre-production, all that is usually during the summer, they're going to have to push that time back. Right,
no matter what, they're going to have to push it back because the writer's strike and also the Screen Actors Guild is voting to strike, whether to strike or not. And it's even some that I'm saying don't vote in yet.
Yeah, if you follow some actors on social media, some of them have publicized their votes and most of them are voting yes.
And one of the actors we know from CSI, the original, Liz Vasquez.
Yeah, and more too. She voted yes too. It's just actors that have a bigger name, they are able to negotiate their pay better. Actors that don't, they have to take whatever the studios are willing to pay. Like, we do fully support the actors on their fight. We do.
And the writers.
And the writers. So this mostly came up because of streaming platforms, because some streaming platforms will hire the writers to write a season on a few scenes. And sometimes those streaming platforms, they don't pay the writers enough.
And they don't pay them residuals. Which yeah. Residuals is if enough, when people stream it enough, they don't get paid again. They get one flat out rate. Well, yeah. The actors, if you sometimes stream things enough, they get a couple cents here and there. Like, for example, so Josh Molina was in an episode of CSI in season 9, the one where we see Nally Davis. A couple years ago, he posted, because I followed him because he was in another show I love. And he posted a residuals check of like 55 cents from that episode.
Yeah. So the actors do get residuals from those episodes, and yeah, and that actually is different actor to actor. It depends on how big your name is and all of that.
Yeah.
And there isn't a show that I watched that is crowdfunded. I don't believe that the writer's strike is going to affect the show if it's crowdfunded, because it's not going to affect it. But I really strongly believe that CSI Vegas, I think it's really coming back for season 3, because as the account CSI Vegas on Twitter tweeted after the season finale, it says CSI Vegas is coming back soon. So
yeah, and also there's the word it again. Does have a decent following. The night it's been up against for the past couple years also has shows like the Law and Order franchise and Grey's Anatomy. It's up against those titans of television.
It has been up against
the Law and Order franchise and Grey's Anatomy.
Law and Order and Grey's Anatomy, and have been extremely strong. So
I think this time we've been above at least one of them. That's just something. When the Law and Order franchise has been going on since the early 90s.
In prison. I mean, it's been since the early 2000s.
Since like 2005.
Yeah. So I think it's good to say that we are coming back. The season 3 is coming back late fall. We don't have a precise date yet because pre-production hasn't begun yet. I mean,
and I'm also sure
some of the actors are going to post something. And also, there's also football season coming up.
So, yeah, because I mean, the NFL draft just happened, so.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to wait for that. But yeah, this is what's going on. And like, season 1 was just 10 episodes. Season 2 was 21 episodes. That 21 episodes is the old format of television.
And it's most shows on network TV still do format, except in the summer shows.
Yeah. The 20-something episodes is still the standard, but streaming platforms, they go like somewhere from 8 episodes to 12 episodes maximum. Episodes.
13. 13. The Good Fight had 13 number of times.
Yeah, it really depends on the show and the storylines, too. But I think overall, season 2 of CSI Vegas was a great season. I think it is a great thing that we leave off with the cliffhanger. Did Josh did it or not? Where is Trey? Who killed Connor?
Who is Penny engaged to?
Who is Penny engaged to? Like, I already asked Sarah Gilman on Twitter. I need to know.
Can I answer?
I know that.
She's not going to tell us who.
I know that. Who do you guys think she's engaged to? Who do you think she's engaged to? Do you think she's engaged to? To Chris, to Jack, to someone else. It's that someone Bella knows.
Yeah. So. She's trying to keep it secret too. Which we know secret relationships lap don't work.
Well, I mean. Also, this episode was really heavy and it was a terrible episode for Ransom Stands. Because let me tell you, the way I was suffering, the way the Ransom Stands are suffering, and Ransom Nation, we are losing. We are dry here. Like, we are definitely losing right now.
Like, I'm glad I'm not a strong Ransom shipper. I ship them, but I'm not a strong Ransom.
Ransom Nation, we are losing. We are literally losing right now. We are sinking. Our ship is sinking, Ransom Nation. We need something. I sure hope season 3 doesn't come back with Valley dating someone new. I hope it comes back with Valley trying to get Josh out of prison.
Everybody.
Maybe like, Max and Allie can work together to try and get him out of prison.
And Serena, you can tell Serena really does have strong feelings for Josh.
Oh, she didn't tell him. Oh, come back to me and then wait and tell me if I have a place in your life. Literally the next day his mom died. It's not funny. It's not funny, but it's funny.
This is what you call a tragic comedy.
Yeah, it's not funny. We got a freaking Gil Grissom over here. So yeah, you guys, this was a very painful episode to watch.
But entertaining.
Very entertaining. It got me on the edge of my seat, to be honest. It reminded me of Forgetta, but honestly, since that whole thing with Ray Langston and Nate Haskell, I don't think I've ever, you know, felt like this for a CSI episode. Like, Josh Fulton really told me.
And here was me saying, it's going to be like this episode the whole time. And you were saying, no, it's not. Josh is not going to go down the deep end that much.
I really do think that my boy didn't go off the deep end.
He went off the deep end by psychically torturing somebody. That's going off the deep end.
They don't have all the facts.
He psychologically tortured somebody, thinking they were going to die. That's diving off the 10-foot high board and going into 20 feet deep
for
water.
That. No, you don't have all the facts.
He literally tried to trick somebody that they were dying. That is psychological torture. That was used on war criminals. That is psychological torture to a T. That is going off the deep end. You're not even allowed to psychological torture somebody in any type of police interrogations anymore.
Yeah, but like his mom was dead, and it's not like Trey was not going to do anything less worse than that.
Yeah.
He was going to beat the guy's skull. Probably break some bones to get the answer.
But still, Josh did go off the deep end by psychologically torturing somebody.
And if he hadn't done that, he wouldn't have seen the scratches on Khan's arm, and he wouldn't have realized that Khan was the one that killed his mom. We don't have the fact that I love Josh Fulton.
I wonder if this is how we've been acting in Cult 1 of the Ray Langston season finale.
Well, you do have all the facts. I don't.
We do have all the facts now.
Ray Langston that much.
We didn't have all the facts at the Cult 1. We did not know what happened.
So, guys, next week, we're going to be giving a new look to another episode. Yeah, one of everyone's favorite episode, I would dare say it. Now we say the number and the name of the episode.
Yeah, go ahead.
The name of the episode is Blood Drops. Do you guys remember that? It had a Dakota Fanning on that. And
I have an emotional connection with this episode.
Yeah, it's a very early episode. The original cast says it's one of their favorites. And we're going to be looking at it on a new light, and it's part of our new series until season 3 comes back. It's a new in-depth series of episodes of CSI, only from CSI Crime Scene Investigation.
Yes, and we're doing this also because 100th episode is coming up.
100th episode is coming up, guys.
And just so you know, we have accidentally misnumbered episode numbers on Instagram.
Yeah, so this is our 91st, not our 90th.
The one that we created, that one that's posted right now, is our 91st.
We love you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening.
Yep.
Bye. See you next
Bye.
Week.
Bye, y'all.